Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, I love you. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I was planning on coming over here anyhow tonight, but some things have been going on. God is doing miracles. Great things are happening. And I'm here on a cause for a nation. Amen. And when I know that God wants to use me, I feel so honored. So honored. I'm not here to make myself look like anything important. I want to give a lot of glory to God, but some things are happening right now. Miracles are taking place. We're in the midst of God's miracle right now. The reason we're together is because there's a miracle taking place right now. You're part of what God is doing, and you have seen God at work. I don't have time to tell you everything, but I'll tell you a few things to just catch you up a little bit. And I read a scripture, and I try not to be lengthy. And whatever the offering was tonight, I thank you for it. None of it will go to me. I'll use every bit of it for some people in the place that we know as Russia, and a place called Tatarstan. And the northernmost Islamic Republic in the world. What's happening there is something similar that happened in the United States about 70 years ago when Bishop G.T. Haywood was praying and asking God for help and asking God for direction and asking God for understanding. And there was a big revival taking place out on the West Coast, a place on Azusa Street. And some things were happening in Topeka, Kansas, and people were being filled with the Holy Ghost and great things. Miracles were happening. And there was a movement going through the land known as the New Light. Amen. The New Light movement. And what that was, people were starting to see the light of the revelation of Jesus' name again in America. Somebody wrote to Bishop Haywood in Indianapolis, Indiana, and said, be careful of these New Light people. Be careful if you're approached with New Light. It's poison. It'll mess you up. These are heretics, he was told. But when he got the letter, he wrote back and said, you're too late. I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And what's happening right now, there's not a, you know, you hear about these big crusades and all these people going places and doing great exploits for God. A brother in Tatarstan, a man who has lived in Russia all of his life, received the Holy Ghost a few years ago. He didn't know what to do with it, but the Holy Ghost knew what to do with him. And, of course, of all the changes that have gone on over there, there's more freedom to worship God. And a member in his church received the Holy Ghost, who is the Secretary of Education over the entire nation. And another deacon in his church, in the church that he pastors, a deacon is filled with the Holy Ghost, loving God and praising God, sitting on the front row. He was the secretary for the Communist Party of the USSR, the second man in the Communist Party with personal strongholds. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's going to be sitting on the front row next month, and I'm going to be telling him, you can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. This brother, Bishop Uchik, came to the United States a few months back looking for somebody to lead them forward. In that country, and I know I sound like a missionary tonight, but it's okay. There's a cause here. In that country, as far as we know, there are less than 200 people who claim to be Christians, except for the fact that 2 years ago, the Holy Ghost started sweeping across the land, and thousands have been filled with the Holy Ghost. This brother came to the United States looking for people to teach, people to help. He went amongst the charismatic folks, looking for something. He said, that's not it. A dear friend of mine, Brother Walkstetter, and listen, if you love charismatic, don't turn me off yet. Charisma is great, but God wants something besides charisma. He wants us to worship in something besides personality. He wants spirit and truth in our worship. But a friend of mine, Brother Walkstetter, who's been very instrumental in government affairs amongst the Jesus name people, he had an office in Washington, D.C. when President Bush was president. I was contacted by the inaugural committee, and I'm not here to toot my horn and brag on myself, but for the first time in the history of the United States, and Brother Bobby can verify this, we took some of our church people and went to Washington, D.C., and I was asked to play for the inaugural committee for the President of the United States. This man who put that together is the one who called me last night on the phone and said, Brother Rutledge, I'm pleading with you. I'm crying out to you in the name of the Lord. He said, there's a miracle that has to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but you got to go to Russia. I said, Brother, I'm broke. He said, so are you going? And I started giving this sob story. You know, I've been sitting over there in Norwich with my 35 folks, praising God. I love my little family. We're just as happy as we can be. And every month a utility bill comes due, the rent comes due, and we pull and we strain, and we don't like to ask people for anything. I don't go around. I hate to ask anybody for money. But I just love God. I love God. And I said, well, brother, if you want me to go so bad, why don't you raise the funds? He said, I'm broke too. He had contacted some of the bishops, the quote high ups, Jesus name officials, saying, would you help? Would you go? They're too busy. And then a couple of nights ago, we got thousands of people saying, come and teach us about Jesus' name. Come and teach us about one God. We didn't know this till just a few days ago. Come and tell us about what we must do. Doesn't that sound like something we read in the book of Acts? Yeah. Men and brethren, yeah. What shall we do? Yeah. Everybody's too busy to go. We got organizational responsibilities. We got denomination ties and conferences and important things to do. And I was in the same boat last night when my phone rang. I was sitting there happy. Got a lot to do. I have to lock my door to keep the sinners out sometimes. So easy to think that we're just supposed to be here with each other. Hallelujah. There's not one missionary that we know of in that whole country of Tatarstan, 500 miles from Moscow. There's less than 2 years, the oldest convert as far as Holy Ghost filling. But thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't have churches on every corner saying, once saved, always saved. They don't have churches everywhere around them saying, oh, don't listen to them. We're taking truckloads of Bibles with us, and they're going to be distributed in the school system. And the teachers are going to teach what we teach to the students in the school. What happened to America? I'm not down in our country, but I never would have dreamed when I was a kid, you know, that monster over there called Russia, those enemies over there that may bomb us at any moment, I never would have dreamed that I'd have freedom to preach in their schools, and I wouldn't have freedom to even pray in my school. Something wrong somewhere, but something's right somewhere, too. Hallelujah. Amen. I scrambled down to the post office today to get my passport papers. I don't have a passport. I'm not a world traveler. I'm happy in Norwich. I'd be happy. I told somebody last night, I'd be happy if I never had to leave the building. We got a new place now. We got central air. I got a nice recliner. And a few people that love me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God's good, isn't he? Praise God. In Russia itself, the area where I'm going, it's the biggest population of the ethnic minority. I'll say it that way. You know, you have to be careful what you say. I didn't preach. But what I read in the Word of God, I read something in the Word of God that just caught my attention again. Hallelujah. In the book of St. Luke, the book of Luke, 24th chapter, Jesus is teaching some people. They have been confused. Things didn't happen the way they thought it should. If they'd been living in our day, they may have been discussing some of the problems that have been going on in the past few days around the church. It may be they didn't think it would happen that way. In this particular day, they had been with Jesus, and Jesus had been crucified. They had given up some things to be with Jesus. But things had happened, and so Jesus had some things to say, and you know the word. You're taught enough here to save the whole world. So I'll just start here in verse number 44. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Hallelujah. And we know what happened. They went to Jerusalem. And they were waiting on the promise of the Holy Ghost. They had been instructed, "You're going to get the power to do what I'm telling you that you must do. I'm going to give you what it takes to carry out the mission. I'm going to endue you with the ability to do what you could never do without God's help. And I want you to take what I give you and take it to all nations. Take it to all people. Take it to all races. Take it to all classes of people. Take it to all people everywhere. What I give to you, you tell them that you have received from the wonderful Savior that you know. Something that is a free gift, and it's promised to you and to your children and to all that the Lord our God shall call. Teach them that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name." He opened their understanding so that they could understand what Jesus was all about, what God had been doing to the prophets, what all the church is all about, what everything that concerns the lion's den, the giant, the tribulation times that they went through in the wilderness, the terrible taskmakers that the people of God, they could only seemingly serve God when they had all kinds of problems. When the problems were lifted, they didn't seem to need God anymore. I've seen people like that in 1998. And they cry, "Why do I have so many problems? I thought God loved me." Well, you might have less if you start trying to be faithful to the church. I read in the Word of God some things about how important this church is. It's something that Jesus says, "I'm going to present this unto myself, a glorious church without having any spot, without a blemish. It's not going to have any wrinkles in it. It's going to be spotless and clean. It's going to be my church. No division, no confusion, no backbiting, no arguments, no one complaining about the preaching, nobody getting concerned about what the neighbor wears, nobody worried about what anybody else thinks. It's going to be a spotless church." Hallelujah! And I want to tell you, if it's going to be a spotless church, the people in it are going to have to be spotless. Yeah, right. I have people tell me all the time, nobody can do that. But, you know, I listened to the devil for several years before I finally got wise and started listening to God. Devil's a liar. He told me last night, don't you even listen to this guy about going to Russia. God called you to Connecticut. The devil will tell you what God wants you to do. I got to thinking, what will these 30 people do without me for a whole week or two? But I'm finding out every time one of them finds out about it, they can't wait for me to go. They're excited about it with us. They want to rejoice. They want to be a part of what God's doing. Amen. God, I'll tell you what, when you start reaching out to the lost and obeying God and taking it to the other nations, you know what God does? He brings his blessings to you. He does. It's a matter of obeying God. You give. And that's what the Word of God's all about, teaching us. It's better to give than to receive. You know why? As you give, you receive so you can give. You can't outgive God. You can't love so much that you run out of love. You just love, and God just loves you. And if you give it, you get it. Hallelujah. You can't exercise mercifulness and kindness enough. You cannot run out of that. The more you're kind to your friends and your neighbors and your loved ones, the more you try to do right when others do you wrong, the more you reach out to try to help, the more you find yourself with more power to reach out, more power to help others, more of a concern for your fellow man. Hallelujah. I was sitting there. We had just had a nice service last night. A good service. Just like we always do. It's always great. We know what songs we're going to sing. I can tell you when Brother Dana's going to sing, usually. That's right. We got the same, I mean, it's like, we criticize these ritualistic people. But look at us. We get in a rut. It's time for the testimony service. It's time for the choir to sing. It's time to take the offering. And I'm not saying that good order is wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying it's time for us to kind of take a look at ourselves once again and make sure we haven't entered into a little dance around some little golden calf. I mean, there's a God who's still concerned about people. And he says, sure, I want you to testify. Sure, I want you to sing. Sure, I want you to have order and organization. But don't forget that take this message of remission of sin and the name of Jesus to people in other places. Hallelujah. And you ever notice what it feels like? I mean, I've made a few people mad because I pastored a church one time and had over 400 members. And I found out the more people you got, the more problems you have to deal with. In fact, I said I pastored them, but actually they pastored me. I learned a lot about what Jesus means about being a servant to all. I found out you can get so many jobs to do if you're trying to be a pastor of a lot of people. They want you to be their doctor, their lawyer. You got to be a psychologist, a psychiatrist. You got to be their daddy, their mother. You got to pamper them like they're little babies. You got to be there. You got to be their janitor. You got to be the one that takes them places and picks them up. You got to be the one that's able to come out with money to give them when nobody else can supply their needs. You got to feed them when they're hungry. And you got to give them something to drink when they're thirsty. And if you ever mess up one time, they'll hate you forever. You got to be the traffic cop, and you got to be the one that gets everything in order when they're fighting, when husbands and wives can't get along. You got to be the marriage counselor. You got to be the one that's there when nobody else wants to be there. You know what a pastor is? It's something for the saints to watch their shoes on. Lord, have mercy. Amen. And I tell you what, I wouldn't do this for nobody else but God.
Amen.
But you know what? I find joy in doing what I do. What an honor it is. I would rather be a floor mat, a doorkeeper in the house of God, than to be the king of this hedonistic world that we live in.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord with me! Hallelujah! Glory! God's going to have a spotless church without any blemish. With spotless people washed in the blood of the Lamb, having the robes of righteousness. Some people are wanting to go to heaven so they can put on the robe. Listen, you ain't going to heaven unless you're wearing your robe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise Him one more time. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was singing at President Bush's inaugurational event, President Bush himself was not able to attend our portion, but congressmen and lawmakers, and they were all there, and we had thousands of people around. I was sitting at the piano. Brother Walkster had requested that I sing a song that I'd written shortly before that. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of God. And ye are complete in Him. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are new. He's bread when I'm hungry, water when I'm thirsty, wonder-working power, our help in time of need, Father of creation, Master of situations, and ye are complete in Him. I haven't thought of that song in a long time. Last night, at the end of the service, after Brother Joe Young was toward the end of his message, it just hit me, sing that song. And I started singing, In Him Dwelleth the Fullness of God, and ye are complete in Him. Hallelujah. I took a sister, an elderly sister, home after church, came back, and my phone rang. And I hadn't thought about that man in several years, but God doesn't have any time limitations. It don't matter if it was yesterday, last year, or 15 years ago. Here we are 13 years later, and this man is calling me saying there's a nation crying out, wanting to be baptized in the name of Jesus. There are government leaders wanting to learn about the name of Jesus. There are people who have been in high places in government who used to be our enemies, who want you now to come and baptize them in the name of Jesus. An amazing thing. I hadn't even thought about that brother in all these years. But last night when I was singing that song before he called, he was on my mind. You know what's happening? God is giving us a little tap on the shoulder saying, listen to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what he said to me? I said, Brother Walker, I don't have any money. I owe $1,300 on a phone bill. My rent's due. Hey, man, I thought about a song a man made up 2 years ago. Got a car payment due. Got a television, too. Got a smoke I got to chew. A lot of things I got to do. And I can't pay my tithes this week. When I give him all my excuses, I thought of that song. Blow your nose on that. Be seated just a minute. I'm almost through. Hallelujah. I got this burden, I got that burden. You know, you get to thinking about all the things that you think are big problems. And you don't really have a good vision of what this thing's all about. After I told him all my troubles and all the reasons why I don't think I can, he said, so are you coming? I said, I think so. Something clicked in me. Now it doesn't matter whether I go or not. I'm just glad that I became... Whatever that was in me that needed to click, I'm glad it clicked. If I don't get to go, I think I will. But if I don't, I'll send whatever offer you've given to the people. They will go because it's going to go. It's going to happen. I just learned about it last night. We're going September the 10th. I still got to get a passport, a visa, and a legal invitation. But Monday I'm going to have my seat reserved on the plane. And I may have to take a trip to Washington to get everything done quick. But you know, when God's in it, things happen. I'll tell you something. I'm glad Brother Bob is here. He's not going to lie. He's not going to let me lie either. I mean, this man is a witness, so I got to make sure I tell you the truth. And I would if he wasn't here. But about a year and a half ago, I bought a computer. Now, I didn't have any business with a computer. That crazy thing knew more than I did. Every time I'd touch it, it would just crash. It seemed like every... Now, I know y'all probably think that's funny because, you know, you're smart. But I was illiterate when it came to computers. But I wanted a computer. I bought a computer. I took up an offering in church to get a computer. I wanted a good computer. And we bought a computer. And nothing would do right on that computer. I think we paid about $2,500 for it, and we paid about $3,000 for it since. The only thing left on it, I think, is probably just the shell that came with it. We kept trying to make it work. Put in a new hard drive. Put in a new motherboard. When we got to putting all the new stuff in, all the stuff that I bought wasn't there no more. And it still crashed. I didn't know what I was doing. But I felt God was in it. Just hang on. Just hang on. Then we got it working a little bit, and I got hooked up to the crazy internet. I didn't know how to operate on that either. Got email. I didn't know how to send it or receive it. Then somebody sent me some kind of a letter bomb, blew my computer up. I didn't know I had stuff like that. And one night about midnight, I was sitting in my recliner with a computer that wouldn't work. There's a knock on my door. Here comes a big old fat man that I never saw before. I thought, oh no, another bum. Another one wanting money. But I'm learning more and more. Don't say the first thing that's on your mind. Sometimes we react too fast. God sometimes is trying to help us out a little bit. God's blessings come in all kinds of packages. Amen. What God sent me that night was a computer programmer. He'd just gotten out of prison, been in the federal penitentiary for 10 years, where he had been training for 10 years on programming computers. When I found that out, I thought, well, I better tell him it's time to go. I got to go to bed. But he came in there in just a few minutes. He got down. I let him. I didn't have anything to lose. The computer was gone. Brother Bobby can verify. He started going, yeah, you're Puerto Rican, brother. And when he'd say, no, he meant, yes, yes. No. He got in all those little words, and I didn't understand a thing he was doing. Yeah, you, no. Oh, he said, I see you now, you little bug. I know where you are. I see you. I've got you cornered, you little bug. I'll get you. He kept on pushing those buttons, that mouse. After a while, my computer started working. Guess what? These people in Russia want us to send email to them and teach them more after I come back home about how to stay saved. There's something within us that God gave us that'll cause us to be what God wants us to be. There's something within us that'll say yes to God if we will just let it say yes. There's something within us that'll, you might say, defragment us. Amen. Scan us real good.
cause us to become what we're supposed to be in the eyes of God. And it's called the Holy Ghost. If you have the Holy Ghost in your life, you've got the power to not only be witnesses to others in other places, but you can be a witness. When you pray, God hears you. When you have a need, God supplies it. Hallelujah. When you need a shoulder to lean on, God is there for you. Hallelujah. When you need a blessing, there are plenty where the others came from. There's something within us. I thank God. I thank God tonight. I don't know what's going to happen, but I thank God for an awareness once again that I had for a long time. I didn't know I had lost it. An awareness once again that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's stand and praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Thanks for letting me come over. And I'll bring back some video. And I'll share with you what you helped me to do for the cause of Jesus Christ.